Guys, welcome back to another episode of It's On Us. We are back again. It's me, Ash, to my left. I'm not going to introduce our guest yet. We have Gabe.
Here.
We have John.
Hello.
Cliff.
How do you do?
And a returning guest, Kate Gonzalez.
Hello.
Welcome to the show again, Kate. So what's been going on?
So much has changed, like we just said. Yeah. So much has changed since, what was that? January, I think, 2021.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And then COVID.
Wow. Yeah, COVID happened.
Made it feel even longer, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Now we're past it, I think. Hopefully.
Yeah. Over it. Over it. But so.
Yeah, what's been going on? I mean, so it's been 2 years. A lot's changed, I think. Mm-hmm. Last time you weren't on video, so now you are.
She wasn't on video last
time? No.
No. Wow. This was audio. This was all audio. Last time.
It was good.
Let's talk about progression, though. That's crazy.
Evolution. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things that happened right after I was on the podcast in 2021 was I bought a house.
Hey.
Okay.
And I jumped on the low interest bandwagon.
Right when it stopped and shit.
Exactly. So I think that has been one of the biggest things in the last 2 years for me. And the crazier thing about that too is like I didn't even know that it was about to happen.
It just kind of happened.
So and I know Ash feels me on the homeowner journey.
Oh man, it is a journey. Yeah. For those who have purchased a home, you know the struggles of just the little things that come with it. Like if something breaks, there's no landlord that comes by. It's just you.
Nope.
You are the landlord.
Yeah. So your washer goes bad. You call somebody, but you have to fix that.
You coughing up some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. So that's been a journey. There's good and bad to it, of course. But that's been the biggest journey, I think, almost since the last time I was here. And like I said, which makes it even cooler, was like I didn't know that it was about to happen. So walking into 2021 and then what ended up being 21 was very different, but it was a good year. I was in Ash and Sel's wedding. We had a real good year that year with vacations and celebrations and wedding vibes.
You gotta run that year back, man. That was a great year.
Agreed. Yep, that was crazy. And then navigating COVID still at the same time.
I think that was the biggest thing for your wedding. It was so many people. People were like so kind of like on the fence of
I gave no fucks. Masked up,
not masked up. Yeah,
bro, you know. They were like COVID positive like a week before.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
Mm-hmm.
But then like crazy. Afterwards, like I don't know if people caught COVID from the wedding or what. I'm just like,
really?
It'll pass. Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, because we had COVID like 2 weeks prior to the wedding, and then it went away. Right. And I'm like, okay, cool. Just right before the wedding, that's perfect. And then the wedding happened, and then I guess like two people came that were positive, which I didn't like, to the wedding. Yeah, so that was a whole argument in itself right there. But outside of that, though, it was a good time.
Things honestly. That happened behind the scenes that we would have never known.
Man, I had no clue.
No clue.
Yeah, hopefully, I didn't touch their hand or.
I mean, you're still here today, so right.
Yeah. Hey,
we're all good. Better immune system from it.
Right. Right. I think another thing that I had highlighted was advanced in the workplace, which was awesome. That has been a journey in itself, too. So shout out to 5 years and some change at the workplace.
Yes.
There you go. So what exactly do you do now at your job?
So we still doing the same thing, which is the cool thing about it, still doing the same thing that I was doing the last time we met, but advanced in title, in roles, in responsibilities. So all about the success of Lorraine's children through work with their families for school readiness.
Nice.
So, you know, society, I guess, judges our success long term by the small age of 5 when we enter the school doors in kindergarten. So it is that kind of work, preventative work, proactive work for the youngest kids in our city of Lorraine, and trying to better their outcomes for success long term. Because those statistics are crazy. I mean, society says kindergarten, third grade, and then that's, you know, high school graduation. That's it right there.
Wow.
That's what they judge you off of.
And I wonder why that is, though. Because, like, again, environment is important. It's like, mm-hmm. all kids come from different walks and conditions of life. So how do you, like, really measure a kid's success based off their home life? Because, like, again, when you first start in school, a lot of kids know the colors. A lot of kids don't know their colors. So, like, how do you, what's the best way for a parent to prepare their kids entering school?
Oh, that's a great question. That's basically what my job is based off of. Okay. Yeah. So we do a lot of, it's a holistic approach too. Mm. We're not just looking at the child themselves. We're looking at the family, what the family structure is, what they need, what resources they need, right? So honestly, preschool, childcare, all of that, you know, a lot of people have a lot of negative connotations about childcare, but we're, you know, me and my team are there to help navigate that for parents. And the socialization piece, speaking of COVID, is really important for kids. Can you imagine if you had a kid in 2020 or 2021?
Oh my gosh.
And
I would imagine they're like underdeveloped.
Yes.
In a sense.
I think a lot of kids from 5 through 16 were affected by that.
Literally.
100%.
I don't care how old you were, those years of COVID messed up your education.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be like a study, though, of like COVID babies.
I can't wait to see the...
There's going to be like a Netflix series about this shit or something.
100%.
It will. Hulu, I mean, I'm seeing some of the effects because of just like, you know, some kids come up to my job just to like get certain snacks and shit, and just their behavioral, like I watch them, it's just like different. It's just weird how they go about stuff, the way they interact, like... Just imagine taking 2 years off of socialization. You know what I mean? That messes with a person's brain and especially to your development. So, man.
Yeah, the first 3 years of your life are the actually most important period of time, is the most important period of time development.
Yeah.
From birth to 3 years old. And then you can extend it a little bit out further and say, up until 5 years old, your brain is 90% developed.
Yep.
Wow.
So having that...
That's a scary...
Yeah.
It's a psychological factor.
Yeah. But that's like the sponge age in a sense, right? Yeah. I thought it was from like 0 to 7, but 0 to 5 makes sense too.
0 to 5. So, you know, right now we're seeing... in the data, we're seeing that communication went up. So a lack of communication skills in children went up. During COVID, which is why wouldn't it? I mean, think about it. You were isolated with your parents. You didn't have, you know, the socialization piece, which trickles over into communication. 9 times out of 10, your kid was probably like on an iPad or on Netflix or like not hanging out with a lot of kids. So they don't really know how to speak. And then, you know, folks were at home. You're at home, so you're not again with a lot of people.
Different
so then
people.
Yeah, so the socialization piece and is always kind of been there, but that skyrocketed during COVID, and then just recently in the last year, as folks started to get acclimated back into society, I guess, that communication piece, is these kids are not talking how they should be talking.
So we would say like interpersonal communication skills with kids, like as far as like nonverbal cues and how to like speak correctly and like not like yell, just little details of life for kids like that. It's just it's interesting to see, because I have god kids too, so I get to watch them like grow up and see like this is what you're kind of like. I'm just like a helicopter godparent. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'll like nudge you like, hey, you should probably be doing this. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
So that's basically my job, and it is you unpack a lot. You unpack a lot, but again, it's for the success of Lorraine's kids.
That's what's up. I mean, I can't only imagine. Imagine getting your social skills from a YouTube influencer for 2 years. Because that's pretty much what happened. Like you said, kids were on iPads and tablets, so all their social skills came from online personalities and stuff that they just latched on to.
And then the development of TikTok. It's like society has created TikTok so that kids or us functioning adults can, our attention span is so low.
Oh, yes.
Because
now it is,
our attention span is so low because we're used to seeing 10-second TikTok videos that is literally gonna give us so much information in 10 seconds that our brains can't, like, the duration is so hard to, like, extend our attention span because we're used to 10 seconds of all the information that we need.
We wake up in the morning, like say we wake up at 8 o'clock. By 8:10, we've watched five videos,
100%,
so many different ideas and people and things, and it's like it's overloading. It's overwhelming. Yep. That's for adults. And for just adults, imagine for kids.
For a child, that it's almost setting the standard for their for their attention span, and that's not how the real world works.
So when I have a kid, less phone then.
Because I mean, I just established last night, no more YouTube. My kid wakes up for like the past 4 weeks at 1 a.m. I don't know why. And like
reaches for an iPad.
No, he wants to watch YouTube. Like he likes YouTube and shorts, because for a while he was on Netflix and he was just watching the same like dinosaur show. I was like, baby, there's more than just this dinosaur content. And I introduced him to YouTube, and it was like a black hole. Yeah, it was a black hole. And I wish I would introduce him to.
Fucked
and like he was crying last night over it. And I just had to talk him. I had to turn the TV off and look him in the eye and like, baby, you are too smart to let your emotions be controlled by this application. Mm-hmm. And my 11-year-old, he's going to be 11, he's 10. He came out, he was up all day gaming and shit, so his brain couldn't unwind. And he heard me say that. He was like, no more YouTube at all? I was like, yeah, no more YouTube. And I only said that to him just to gauge his reaction.
Yeah.
He was like, what do you mean? You guys already turned off Netflix? You turned off Disney? I'm turning shit off. I don't give a damn.
It's like the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like Bernie Mac. I don't give a damn, kids. I don't give a damn. So, and I was like, yep, you guys are going to get used to watching normal cartoons, movies. You need to extend your attention span because, like you said, I even said it like when it came to this show, because we used to make like, you know, hour-long shows. Everybody's attention span is anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute max, maybe a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And if the dopamine doesn't like extend beyond that, they're switching it to something new. So I got my kids getting ready to like watch movies, extend their stuff, go back outside, use their imagination, because like even just seeing that shit, like their brains can get trapped in any side one of those applications, and it is hard to bring them back out.
It is hard. It is hard for sure. I kind of switching gears here for a second. I started to kind of explore, I think I already outlined this a little bit, more avenues of self-care that tries to extend that duration of concentration. As simple as reading books. As simple as, I mean, when I was young, I could read a book like it was nothing. When I was little, I could read a book. And then you know, middle school came, high school came, college, debatable if I read books. Debatable.
Skimming.
Exactly. And then, of course, you jump into adulthood, and when do you have time to read a book when you're just young and living your best life? And now I think COVID taught me a couple things, and it is to be okay with just laying low and being at home and enjoying like the little things. Number one lesson of the pandemic. And two, like, okay, I can relax, but I wanted to challenge myself walking into this year on reading more books. And I joined a book club.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so that has been a cool journey, and like maybe like 6 books into the year, which is a big accomplishment for me.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, that's 6 more than me the last 5 years.
Yeah. So we read a book each month. So it gets hard, but like that was kind of what we were talking about, was discipline with like golf. And my discipline now is like, okay, Kate, get off of your phone, get off of Facebook, get off of Instagram, get off of the shows that are on your phone, you know, and sit down, relax, get your heart rate down and read a book. It's challenging. It can be very challenging in a world where we are used to the constant stimulation of something like a phone that is literally at our fingertips anytime.
So how does one develop their own dopamine hit without the stimulant of like a seeing something like this on the screen? And again, it's like, that's probably why we go off, because it's like, you don't need your phone out there. It's just you and the elements of nature. And you're figuring out, okay, I'm hearing the birds chirp, working on my mechanics, just little details of life, which goes so long. But you said your books, though. So, like, which genre of books are you, like, interested in?
So, this is kind of like our book club is kind of like risque books, you know.
I had a feeling. The way you even like I knew prepped out, I was like, she's talking about nasty books.
50 Shades of Grey. You
know, yeah. Not 50 Shades of Grey deep. I mean, it's very trendy, again, on social media. I mean, everything goes back to social media. Mm-hmm. The Colleen Hoover books of the world. I don't know if you guys are the least bit inclined at those. But
shout out to Colleen.
Yeah, shout out to Colleen. Those kind of books, and they're just kind of, they're fun. They're, it's romance, it's, you know, kind of rom-com kind of vibes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So they are just nothing that is super formal, but just fun. And then back to the socialization piece, you're meeting with a group once a month, you're talking about something mm-hmm. for a couple hours that you all enjoy. I just think it's like a different way to get back into, I don't know, COVID really affected me on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else or you know, affected me, but I got to a point where like pre-COVID I could work 12-hour days, go to work, go to an event, go home mm-hmm. and wake up the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and feel refreshed, right? I did what I needed to mm-hmm. do. I'm out here like living my best life. Now post-COVID, I'm just like, oof.
Yeah, yesterday even, like, we were like heading back from a graduation party, and I was like, I just want to go somewhere quiet.
Yes.
And like just somewhere, just, I just want to like just
relax.
Yeah, well, yes. Let's come down for a little bit. I mean, yes. We have to be, it doesn't have to be so go.
Mm-mm.
And
mm-mm.
yeah, for sure.
So I think that is part of my growth out of that time period. The last time that we met was reading books and trying to meet some sort of goal and just bettering yourself through those kind of different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like your podcast then?
Yeah.
Except it's once a month instead of once a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you write like notes on the books, or do you just like kind of keep everything in and like kind of?
So at first I started writing notes, and I'll tell you why I stopped mm-hmm. writing notes, because I said, Kate, chill out.
Mm-hmm. Like, got too much.
Seriously, like calm down. Just mm-hmm. do something to unwind mm-hmm. and enjoy it. And yeah. don't go that extra mile. You're not in school. This is supposed to be a hobby. Right. You know
not
what I mean?
Job.
Not a job.
We can talk about that. Let's go on that real yes. quick. So, like, I feel like because we're millennials,
mm-hmm.
we tend to make most hobbies a business, and we don't have mm-hmm. to.
That's true.
Let a hobby be a hobby.
That's yes,
100%.
Can I piggyback yes. off that? Okay, so another form of self-care, of course, that I found. If you know me, you know I like plants and gardening, et cetera, et cetera. So somebody told me, Kate, why don't you get a part-time job at like a local garden center or anything? And I said, because I've found it to be a hobby and a good release, and I don't want to ruin it by making it a job.
Mm-hmm. Getting stressed out over it.
Yes, right. Because then it's going to deter you. You know, I come home to a lot of plants every day. I don't want to lose that like love for that because I turned it into a job. But that speaks to like our generation. Like mm-hmm. you do not have to make it a formal thing. You can just enjoy it.
I don't know why.
It's like going pro for golf with y'all. Like, yeah. y'all ain't gonna go pro and try to get paid and do some other
thing.
Or me, like, go bowling or something like that.
Just enjoy just being out there. Just enjoy whatever hobby it is. Mm-hmm. If it's reading,
mm-hmm.
bowling, playing basketball, whatever mm-hmm. that thing is.
I had to take my time off of that shit, man. I just bowled for the first time, like, since February, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
And
it was fun.
You were in it, like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude, for like 50 something, or no, it was 44 weeks.
Damn.
Out of 52.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So it was like, dude, I needed that X amount of gap to, like, you know,
to recharge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Cause
that, it started feeling like it's a job. Like, I'm obligated to go there mm-hmm. every Saturday. I'm gotta put up this amount of pins, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it really, though.
Yeah, it was super stressful, low key. I'm like, man, fuck this. Like, first, like, when it first started and we won the first half, everything was cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then the pressure of trying to win it again, and then trying to win the whole thing. It's like, man,
I don't even have an answer other than what Ash already said, that it's our generation almost.
Yeah, so how do we escape that, though? What do you guys think?
Because what you're saying is making sense, because working at Paragon for 8 years, like, that's why I stopped visiting people, because it was my job every day to visit locations and drop shit off, mm-hmm. talk to people, make them happy, mm-hmm. please them, shit like that. So by the time I'm done, I just want to go home and I'm done.
You don't want to see anybody, you don't want to talk to anybody.
And Jamie and my woman would want to go play places, and I'm looking at her kind of annoyed, like, yo, I've been outside for like 8 to 10 hours, seeing people, talking to people all day. And I had to like reiterate, that's not me kicking it. That's not me having fun. It is a job. So when I come home, I want to be home. And I'm starting now, because, you know, I only work down the street. I'm starting to break out of that a little bit, but it's still hard for me to like tune my brain into like, hey, just go see such and such today just to check up on them, talk to them. Because that was me before I worked at Paragon. Shit, you know, I used to just pull up on people.
And then one day I was over at Julian's, so I was minding my own business. Clip, I'm like, Clip, Clip, you outside?
I don't call or nothing. I just pull up.
You just pop up.
How you doing today? Let's smoke, let's talk, let's drink.
Yeah.
Something. Kate, can I ask you to move your foot for this my headphones? Thank you.
My
it's kind of like, no, you're good. Getting caught, I'm like jerking my head and shit. Like, I'm straight, yeah, so I can't move.
So no, Kate, this is going your question though about self care. So, what are other ways a person can engage in self care? You think?
I mean, I think it just is a. I mean, whatever self care means to you, first and foremost, is how you explore that. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
So, I mean, I think it's just up to that person. Like, to it's trial and error, you know, too. Like, if you try something, like, you guys tried golf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you loved it, and I sucked.
So I had to keep going because I don't like sucking at anything. So,
yeah,
that's the competitive part
competitive
of my brain.
Part of
like,
you.
Man, yeah, I can't. What do you mean I shot a 48? No, I can do way better than that. So, right. I'll keep going every day, spending all my money. Like, eventually, I'm gonna be broke, but you know, but I'll be great at the sport. So,
but your mental is okay, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I think that's what it boils down to, is like whatever gets your mental right, whatever makes you feel better about the day, productive, going into the next day with clarity, whatever that looks like for you in terms of self-care, I think go for it.
See, yeah, for me, I kind of feel like having like a clean house and like things are put away and just kind of the floor looks nice or the
my shit's going in and out.
Uh-oh.
Too.
Audio.
Uh-oh.